soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on April 11th, 2012. Today I'm going to talk about one of the greatest enemies of mankind, and one of the greatest enemies absolutely detested by God himself, that an enemy that must be destroyed. This enemy is called the Sarks. Sarks, S-A-R-X. Too many people are friends with the Sarks and don't realize how horrible, what an enemy the Sarks is. And today we're going to talk about what the Sarks is, who it is, how close it is to every one of us that have lived. I'm looking at this from the context that this enemy is alive and well where it should not be, especially among the so-called church world or the religious people that profess faith in Jesus Christ but are largely comprising that which is apostate, running into heretical, very worldly, defiled, compromised, tolerating things that it ought not. And why is that so? Because of the Sarks. The Sarks is the flesh. The Sarks is the flesh nature. And there's nothing good in the flesh. There's nothing good in the Sarks. And this is why it's an enemy. What the scriptures have taught us is that he that's in the flesh cannot please God. He that's carnally minded is an enemy with God. And those that love the world are enemy with God. Those that are friends with the world are likened to adulterers and adulterers. Enemies with God. People that mind earthly things are enemies of the cross of Christ. And this is why it's so horrible. Such a horrible enemy, because people that are in the Sarks, yet they may be religious. They may do works, but they're dead works. They're not works of faith, out of which faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by obeying what God tells you to do. Those are the works that God has ordained that we should walk in them. But we have religious people that are in the Sarks that are still governed by natural appetite. Their God is their belly. Natural lusts, passions, appetites, drives. They think the same way as the world. They've not gone into a transformation. And this is what God is looking for right now, is faith. Not unbelief, but faith. Literally believing from your heart the form of doctrine that was presented to you, that Jesus Christ died, bore our sins, was crucified, was buried for 3 days according to Scripture, and was raised from the dead according to Scripture, and he was ascended into the heavens, sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for those that believe on him. And he will come returning with salvation, without sin, and ever live as King of kings and Lord of lords upon the throne of his father, King David. This is the kingdom of God, but we must have the Sarks defeated if we're believers. Romans 6 is a key chapter that goes into this about the Sarks. I'm not going to read it to you. Because Romans 8 tells us there's now, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, after the Sarks, but after the Spirit. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's a very common message today, isn't it? It's a very common message with Jezebel, the false prophetess, who taught the people in that day. It's recorded in the book of Revelation, seven churches of Asia, where Jezebel was teaching her disciples to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. After all, let's sin that grace may abound. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can you do that? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That's Romans 6:7. Let's keep reading. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Remember, what Jesus said was, he that sins is a slave to sin, but he whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And he said to the Jewish religious system in that day, if you believe not, you shall die in your sins. But see, if you believe, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, and God counts you righteous by faith. It's not a doctrine of the mind, it's a belief, it's of the spirit in your heart. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Completely different attitude than today's religious world. Completely different attitude. Completely different teaching here in the scripture. But if you want to be free, here it is. It's in the gospel. It's in the word of God. It's in the cross of Jesus. And you will not know the power of God without the cross. You will not know the life of God without dying to yourself through the cross. That's where you have the true life, the true power, the true resurrection of God through the Holy Spirit, is through the cross. What fruit had you in those things whereof now you're ashamed? For those things lead to death. That is death. The wages of sin is death. Now, Romans 6:22 and following. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to read Romans 8. We're talking about the Sarks, the great enemy of mankind, the great enemy of God, the great enemy of people that profess faith in Christ that haven't crucified this flesh, this Sarks. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Or are you still living as yourself? Who does God see when he looks at you? Paul said that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is by the law, but that the righteousness which is by faith that's in Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 3, verse 9. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, through the sarx, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you're walking after the sarx, if you're walking after the flesh, you're not of Christ. But would you like to be? Would you like to receive this truth, this doctrine that's coming forth to you today through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Scripture? If you hear his voice, heed his call. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's all they think about. If you're going after the sarx, you're always thinking about the sarx. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, he that's born of the flesh is of flesh. He that is born of the Spirit is of spirit. It's evident. It's easy to see. Open your eyes. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So they that are in the sarx cannot please God. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's Romans 8:8. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Spirit of God is in you, then you're not after the flesh, are you? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Now this text, we've heard it many times, is going to make a lot more sense in context. Romans 8:12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You don't have to walk after the sarx. You don't have to live to under its compulsion and drive and influence. We live in the flesh, but we're not of the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that was the text I was referring to. If you're led of the sarx, you're not of God. If you're led of the Spirit of God, you are the Son of God. We want to be led by God. We want to be moved by the breath of God, by the moving of his Spirit. We want him to lead us, direct us. We want to be motivated, influenced by the very Holy Spirit of God that was given to us. As Jesus ascended into the heavens, he has sent this gift, as many as the Lord shall call, as many as obey him, he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it just goes on. We're talking about the enemy, and that is the sarx. This is in Galatians 5:24. Paul said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Goes through, talks about the sarx. I'm going to back up and read this chapter, Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. There are those that crept in secretly into the household of faith in the early ecclesia, early called out people, seeking to bring them back into bondage to the law of Moses, so they could glory in their flesh, that they could glory that they made men get circumcised, or they made men keep a certain day of the week as holy unto the Lord. And there's always men that want to put their mark on you. But we don't want a mark of man. We want the mark of God upon us. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to do one part of the law, you've got to do all the law. And if you violated one point of the law, you violated the whole law, according to James. Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Just think about that. As powerful as the cross of Jesus Christ is, the power to overcome death, sin, and all the ordinances that was against us, and all the transgressions, all the hopelessness that was done away through the cross of Jesus Christ is nullified when you think you're going to do one thing to earn justification before God. That's why you better be careful. You better have faith only, not works, out of your flesh. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. He's talking about people that are teaching falsely, bringing in leaven, false doctrine. Woe unto them. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why did I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Read Galatians 1. We see a lot about that. That's the anathema. He that preaches another gospel, another Christ, another spirit, twice that anathema is proclaimed. And here we have it again, Galatians 5:12. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. You've been called into liberty. That's why I'm doing this message today. God wants you free from the sarks. God wants you free from the flesh, the lust, and the passion. And the solution is the cross. The solution is the cross and having faith in Jesus Christ. Only don't use your liberty for an occasion to the sarks, to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. He's talking about the sarks, the nature of the sarks, and even among the religious people. It's like a bunch of crabs in a bucket. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh. You can't walk with Jesus and walk in darkness. You can't walk in light and with darkness. It's one or the other. We stumble. God knows. God knows we fall. God picks us up. But you're not under the power of sin. And he that's dead is freed from sin. Meditate in the word of God that you may obey it. Hide the word of God in your heart. Purpose in your heart not to sin against the Lord. Meditate in the word of God. Consider the blessings of obedience. Consider the curses of disobedience. And don't give place to the devil. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And come unto the Lord. Pick up your cross daily, denying yourself, and follow the Lord. And this is our victory, even through our faith. Let's go on and read about the sarks, what it's like, because it's all around us. Now the works of the sarks are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Don't forget to be covetous is idolatry. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, always being at odds, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the sarks, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is really amazing text. And in Colossians, I want to read to you some of these verses here about the minds. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, and which was proclaimed to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. See? There's people that are in that state of being absolute enemies by the wicked works that they're doing. They're in bondage, and yet they're religious. And this isn't what God wants. God's dealing with this. The sarks. This is from Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and following. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, you know, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, emptiness, usefulness, lowliness, pettiness, carnality of their mind. You see? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If we're following Christ, how can we walk in the vanity of our mind? Worldliness, going after the flesh, minding earthly things. It's a contradiction. Is your understanding darkened, or is your understanding illuminated by God, by his holiness, his light, by the spirit of revelation, illumination into the things of God? Are you in unity with God, or are you alienated from God? Are you ignorant, or are you willingly ignorant, or are you studying, improving yourself as a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you letting him teach you? Are you absolutely ignorant? Is your heart blinded? Is your heart hardened? Or is your heart broken, pliable before the Lord? Is your heart precious soil that the seed of the Word of God can bear fruit? Or is it going to be choked by the things of this world? Is it shallow? Are the demon powers able to steal the Word because you don't understand what it's even talking about? Jesus spoke before a great crowd one day, and they all stood up to hear him talk, and he talked liking them, all of those people, to different soil. Their heart was like soil. There's only a certain people that bear fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus, and Jesus is the truth. And the Word of God is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the truth, the Spirit of truth. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put it off. Crucify it. Bury it. Daily. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is God's will. And that you put on the new man, because Jesus Christ came. He's not from below. He's from above. He said, I'm from above, you are from beneath. I came from my Father. And we need to be in him. We need to be in Jesus, born again. That's what it means. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. We are members one of another. Be ye angry and don't sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, I'm meditating on this because I'm so aware that the minds of the people is depraved. And we're coming into the times of people's minds being reprobate, where God has allowed the people, because of their willful disobedience to him and refusing to repent and come to the Lord, where they could be cleansed and washed from their sins, where they chose their delusions. They refused to listen to the Lord, and they went into deception. And because they did not love the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness, God is giving them over to believe lies. Their understanding is darkened. Their hearts are blinded, and their minds are filled with vanity and lust and passion. And now they are slaves to sin. We're talking about the masses of the world. And as we read the book of Revelation, the picture of the last days, we see the whole world lying in wickedness, the whole world worshiping the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, going into absolute rebellion, serving the dragon, absolute rebellion. And though God pours out his wrath to his holy angels into the earth, they refuse to repent of their murders, the fornications and adulteries and thefts and drugs. They refuse because they're so hardened against the Lord. And this is why you want to come to the Lord now, and you want to be cleansed, and you want to deal with the sarks. And there's only one place for the sarks, and that's on the cross. Nail it to the cross, bury it, and start building yourself up in the new man that's in Jesus Christ, and arm your mind with the same manner of thinking and conduct, as 1 Peter 4 says here. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. The world thinks you're crazy for following Jesus. But there is a difference, because we're called to be salt with savor. We're called to be light, and that means we're different. We're not of this world. We don't love this world. We don't love the things of this world. And we're presenting our body to God as a workman with our reasonable service. We're not being conformed to this world, but we're being transformed. We're called to be transformed. And this is the marvel. This is a marvelous thing. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes as the sarks is destroyed through Jesus Christ.